has come, and yet we are waiting. We're waiting for his second coming. We're waiting for all those things in our lives that we think are going to turn out differently than they have to in fact turn out. And so Advent for us is a great time to remember and to rehearse, and it's a time when we often go back to texts that we don't hear the rest of the year. And so I want to invite you to Isaiah chapter 11, the first five verses. Isaiah is going to prophesy something that for him was yet to come, something for us which we know has already happened. Listen to God's word. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness will be the sash around his waist. Let us pray. Lord, let your word now penetrate our hearts in places where we truly need to hear it, while we in this congregation are waiting for various things, both individually and as a congregation. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, in the Russian city of Moscow, there is one of the most fascinating church buildings you'll ever find. It's called the Cathedral of Christ Our Savior. It's beautiful, gold domes. It's fairly recently there, you may know, though. It's come back since communism left in the 90s. It's been allowed to be rebuilt because, you see, this beautiful church that I've seen nearly completed back in the 90s myself, there was a church just like it on that site before. But in 1931, December the 5th, 1931, in the midst of an atheistic era, Joseph Stalin had the Church of Christ Our Savior dynamited. So that whole church in that very place, December the 5th, 1931, came down. In its place. In its place was to be the palace of the Soviets. It was going to be great. It was going to demonstrate every powerful thing about the Soviet Union. And there was to be on that plaza a statue of Lenin that was going to be twice the size of the Statue of Liberty. Think about the enormity of one person's statue twice the size of the Statue of Liberty. The Russian Orthodox Church, obviously, was grieving during this time. Something very precious to them, their cathedral in Moscow was destroyed, completely cut down. And something in their mind that was heinous was to be put in its place. Well, this cathedral is right by the Moscow River. And as they began constructing the foundation for the Plaza of the Soviets, something happened. The foundation kept sinking in the wetness. Now, the flood hadn't been there when the cathedral was there, but every time they tried to form a foundation, the ground under it just gave way with wetness and with sinking. And they'd try again, and they'd try again, and they'd try again, and they'd fortify it, and they'd dry it out, and they'd build little walls, and, well, they never got the plaza of the Soviets built. The water, mysteriously, kept coming up and ruining the foundation. Finally, Nikita Khrushchev gave up on it. And he said, well, let's just build a swimming pool on that site. So he built a big round swimming pool. And what he didn't know is that the church in Moscow used that swimming pool week after week for public baptisms that nobody knew was actually happening. And then communism fell. And now the church, back to the first slide, has been rebuilt with its beauty on that site, and you can see it there today. And oh, by the way, it's still right by that river. And oh, by the way, the foundation is just fine, thank you. And that church is standing. Now, there was, you see, for all of those people, a stump. Something had been absolutely cut down. But out of that stump grew a shoot of life that is now back and restored. I want to look at our text with you today. And to understand the text in Isaiah 11, you need to understand the context. The context is actually that Assyria has been a big bully in the life of Israel. And that Assyria has come through and devastated the land. Chapter 10 of Isaiah. And if you get bored with the sermon, you can always go back and read chapter 10, which may illuminate. In chapter 10, you just see this devastation going on. It looks like the Assyrian army has come, and the Assyrian gods look like they're superior to the power of God. And in that chapter, that there is a word that only a remnant was going to survive, and God would protect his people. But God was prophesying that Assyria would pose this great threat to God's people, and sure enough, they came and they were. But God would stop them from carrying out everything that the Assyrians wanted to do, nevertheless, for Israel. There was the reality of a stump. They lived in the reality not long after of recognizing it's all been cut down. What was beautiful is now just an old stump. And the people of God would face this again and again. It wasn't long before it was the Babylonians that cut them down to a stump. And then later it was the Greeks. And then in the time of Jesus, it was the Romans, culminating in 70 AD when Titus came in and literally destroyed Jerusalem and took the temple down to only one wall standing that still to this day stands and is known as the Wailing Wall. You see, there's a pattern for the people of God. We go through periods where for various reasons, it's like our life has been cut down. It's as if there is a stump present in our lives. Happens from different things. Someone gets cancer. Someone you love gets cancer. And life for a season just falls apart. Hair falls out. You're sick. Chemotherapy. It's like the flourishing life you had is just cut right down. Or you go through a divorce. Somebody you love leaves you and leaves you behind, and suddenly you look around and what's merry about Christmas this year? Because somebody just left you and left the children and left for someone or something else, and it just feels absolutely barren. 1991, dear friend of mine, Jerry Sitzer from Whitworth University in Spokane. I arrived in 1991 in the summer, and in September of 1991, Jerry and his family were in an automobile accident. They were driving back from a family outing. He had four children, a wife, his mother was with them, and they had come back from a little place in Idaho, and a drunk driver came around a corner, hit the car, and his wife, his mother, and his daughter, Dinah Jane, all died in that wreck. Three children lived, but three were gone. Who has ever lost three generations in one wreck? I spent 2 years in a small group with him, and out of that small group came a book that he wrote that even Jim Stewart mentioned to you called A Grace Disguised. In that God's grace appeared to him in the middle of this horrible stump devastation in his life. Something was absolutely cut out. But God was not finished. Because in Isaiah 11:1, it says, in fact, it begins with not the stump, but the shoot. You see, the prophecy is that there's going to grow a shoot out of a stump. A stump, in some ways, for the people of God, was not news. They had lots of them. The shoot, that was news. Something's going to grow back. Something's going to grow forth again. The Assyrians did their worst, but they didn't finish off the people of God. It's happened time and time again among the people of God. Persecution has come, tried to wipe out the church, thousands would die, and yet the church would come back so strong, as one writer said, the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. You notice things like that in marriage. Marriage can go through very devastating slump-like periods where it feels like it's just an old stump, and then God does something that brings it back to life. Health can seem as if it's right on the edge of nothing, as if it's all been destroyed, and yet God touches us and brings back healing. You know, Paul wrote the sweetest letters he ever wrote in the New Testament, like Philippians, while he's in the middle of prison. Who would ever think anything good could come from that? Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the second most widely read book in the English language to the Bible, was written in the Bedford jail. Luther's translation of the Bible from Latin and Greek into German happened in the middle of the Wartburg castle, where he was stuck as a stump. John Calvin suffered constantly physically, and yet there kept sprouting out of him this amazing theology. 2 years ago, Jerry Sitzer wrote a new book. It's called A Grace Revealed. And he tells about the 20 years in between the wreck and now, and what God did with each of his children and what God did in his own life. And it was August of 2011, after all the children had been raised, Jerry finally married again. Dear woman named Pat. A grace disguised, a grace revealed. A stump of devastation and a sprout growing out of it. You see, Advent is a season where you begin to imagine, what is God going to do? One of the songs often sung in this period of time is, "In the bleak midwinter." But what happens in the middle of the bleak midwinter? God is at work. God is at work in your life, in this church. There is no stump in God's economy from which a shoot can't emerge. Now, Isaiah was talking about the Messiah, talking about the qualities of the Messiah that was coming. This restoration is all happening because of Jesus. And the Messiah is described here with a variety of qualities. He's going to be full of wisdom and understanding. He's going to have counsel, and he's going to have might. He's going to have this knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. There's going to be something in Jesus coming forth as that shoot, which is exactly what you and exactly what I will need to flourish in this life. We need Jesus. You see, wisdom means a knowledge that teaches us how to apply it to life. Understanding is this way of knowing that comes with this world where we go, "I see what you're doing, God. I see what your hope is." To have Jesus full of counsel and might gives us the ability to know the word from the Lord, to say, this is the way, walk in it, turn neither to the right nor to the left. To have the might of Jesus in our lives means that there's no power in your life or mine stronger than his. Knowledge. Knowledge includes an intellectual and a relational type with God. This knowledge means we not only know about God, but we know God. And what a sustaining sprout that is. The fear of the Lord doesn't mean fear like shaking your boots, but it means having a healthy respect for God and wanting to walk in his way. You see, when the Messiah enters your life, there is no stump which does not continue to sprout new life. Everywhere that the Messiah is in your life is just something ready to sprout forth. So wherever you are in Advent, whatever you are waiting for, wherever it feels like there is a stump that has the final word, it's no longer going to work, it's only disappointment, nothing is going to happen again. Oh, friends, this text is telling you that again and again and again in God's great economy, a shoot will spring forth from that stump. One of the more remarkable stories in the history of mission is what happened in South Korea. You had Matt Kim here 2 weeks ago preaching part of that culture. You see, in the past 50 years, the Korean church has gone from 5% of the Korean population to over 40% of the Korean population. Something is happening there in the devastation of an old stump of a culture that is just bringing shoots forth. The city of Seoul has 10 of the world's 20 largest congregations in one city. And many of them are Presbyterian. Every day in Korea, 20 new churches are planted and 1,400 more people come to Christ. Every day. But if you had been there in 1865, you would have never imagined that. Spiritually, it looked like an absolute stump. That's when the Reverend Robert Thomas, a missionary from London, decided to leave China and try to get the gospel to Korea. It was closed to the gospel then. But on his way to try to deliver a ship full of Bibles, the Koreans were very suspicious, and they fired on his ship, destroying it and sinking that ship full of those Bibles. He tried to swim to shore, wounded, with as many Bibles as he could put under his arms to put the Word of God, which was in Korean, in the people's language. But he died on the beach as he was just getting to shore. The authorities came. All these boxes of Bibles were floating toward the shore. They got as many of them as they could and destroyed, they thought, all of them. But Sam Moffat, the great missions historian of Korea, tells us that they didn't get all the Bibles. And some of them got into the hands of Korean people. And they began to read them. And shoots began coming out of spiritual stumps, such that today, if you want to see where the Presbyterian church is thriving, you go and see these flourishing stumps coming out of old shoots of a culture that didn't want it. But the Word of God got into the hands of people, the Messiah was present, and things changed for your life. For mine, the stump never has the last word. It's the shoot. It's the Messiah. That's what we're waiting for. the shoot of the Messiah bursting forth in your life and in mine. Let's pray. Gracious God, during this Advent, our greatest desire is that you would meet us. Our greatest desire is that you would ignite once again that in our lives which sets us free. Lord, whatever is broken, whatever is damaged, whatever is hurt, would you just let your Spirit break right through it, that we may know the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge of you and the fear of the Lord that finally will set us free to be the people you've called us to be. We're going to trust you, not only in Advent, but all throughout our lives, to be the person we long for you to be in our lives. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.